On this episode of the Oklahoma Breakdown with Iker and Lehman, presented by First Fidelity Bank, we have an excellent interview with Bob Stoops. Coach Stoops updates us on what he's doing these days. We talk about the complex situations in college football right now. And of course, we talk some OU football with him. Before Bob's interview, we jump into local college football news by previewing Oklahoma's defense heading into the season. With it being a holiday weekend, there's none of our normal segments at the end of the show. Those will be back next episode. So please download and subscribe to the podcast, rate it 5 stars, and write us a good review. Follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search Oklahoma Breakdown on any of those, and you'll find us. All right. Our man Michael Hostie will kick this thing off. It's time for the Oklahoma Breakdown. It's a beautiful Monday, September 7th, and you're listening to the Oklahoma Breakdown with Iker and Lehman, presented by First Fidelity Bank. First Fidelity Bank is a full-service financial institution based in Oklahoma with tailored solutions for all your personal and business needs. Checking accounts, saving accounts, home loans, and much more. They do it all, whether it's online banking from your computer or mobile banking from your phone. Everything is stress-free with FFB. Making mobile deposits, paying bills online, and moving money to different accounts could not be easier. First Fidelity Bank provides free ATMs worldwide, making banking convenient wherever you are. They're still working on that new offer for our new listeners. We will keep you posted on that. First Fidelity Bank also gives back to the community. FFB donates a total of more than $500,000 to local charities and educational foundations. Make your life easier and go bank with First Fidelity Bank. Visit ffb.com for more information. Well, happy Labor Day, everybody. We appreciate all your hard work and hope you're enjoying a nice and relaxing day. Now, full disclosure, we are recording this a few days in advance. So what's the best way to put it, Ted? So that we can properly honor all of these people's hard work by drinking a ton the entire weekend, right? That's a fair way to put it.
Yes. I can confirm that that's the way it's supposed to go down. Absolutely. And I got to tell you, it's needed a little bit of a break. And I know I just had a vacation, but I need a little bit of a break here, an extra day to kind of, I feel like the season, like it's been upcoming forever. And now that it's here, it's like, it's somehow this season has creeped up on me. And I don't know how that's possible. We've been fretting over it every moment of every day.
It may be because there was a small part of you that thought it may not happen.
Yeah.
So, and you're fair. Also like the busiest man on planet Earth during the season.
It can be a bit much, but we're ready to roll. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I can't. The podcast, I think it's going to be great during the season. We're going to
hit our stride, dude.
We're going to preview all the games. The late Sunday recording, the one we put out late Sunday night, Monday morning. That's going to be kind of a recap of the weeks before. It's going to be fun. I'm really excited. So we are doing our part this Labor Day weekend, and we're going to enjoy a little R&R and have a good time. And then it's game week, baby. By the time people are listening to this, it's game week, Ted. Let's go.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, by the time this thing's up, let's just pray that we're still on schedule to play football, you know, because you watch some high school stuff around the state. It scares me a little bit, Gabe, and I don't want to be scared, man.
We can't live in fear, but man, I'm scared. No, I think all signs point to football being played in the Big 12 Conference this weekend. So I'm pumped. And since OU, I mean, we got a game, people. We are going to preview the OU defense. We previewed the OU offense last episode. So that's kind of our local college football news. And that news is brought to you by Will and Wiley Hard Seltzer. Guys, stop acting like you're too manly and just accept it. Hard seltzers are amazing, and there's only one hard seltzer that we drink on this podcast, and that is Will and Wiley Hard Seltzer from Coop Ale Works. It's perfect for any occasion. We drink it by the pool, at the lake, and at the tailgate. It's made in Oklahoma, and it is absolutely delicious. Will and Wiley is customized for the Oklahoma lifestyle. Go find it right now in a store near you, and go follow them on social media at Will and Wiley. If you're drinking some because of us, tag us in your social media posts to let them know. A little news before we get to the defensive preview. Teddy, I just have one question for you. What do you think gets OU fans more excited? I'm going to give you two options here. Number one, Braden Willis comes out and says that Spencer Rattler has Baker Mayfield energy. Number two, fans can buy a cardboard cutout of themselves to put in open seating around the stadium for the low price of $50. Which one do you think is getting the Sooner Nation more fired up?
Well, for me, I'm like this every year with the quarterback. And I was even like this with Baker Mayfield. I don't give me that energy until you do something. You know, maybe it's old school. I don't know, but maybe it's the defensive guy. There's a little bit of eye roll anytime the offensive guys act like that. So for me, it's the cardboard cutout. And, you know, I thought honestly, like, what can I do here? Because I would like to get an entire row of like ex-OU coaches, like with angry pictures, you know,
just like an entire Venables,
whenever he's going crazy on the sideline,
an entire row of Venables and Jackie Shipp headshots from year after year.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking I should do, but I think that's going to be cool. I mean, it in a typical year, you'd say, oh my God, this is the dumbest thing ever. But this year I think it's kind of cool. Especially for folks that weren't able to get their tickets and stuff, and you gives you a reason to watch and check the surroundings. There's not going to be nearly the atmosphere that you're used to, but you can check the cardboard cutout, see what's going on there.
My favorite part now, for the people that want cardboard cutouts, orders have to be in by September 8th. So you got to get on it, people. Like, you don't have much time.
So is it just a one-time fee and that's every game?
Yeah, it sits there the whole season. Now, the best part about it, you can go read all the details on Soonersports.com, but if it gets damaged, they don't replace it. So that's where it gets really fun for me. How many, like, punters are going to be aiming for those things in warm-up? Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a little bit different than baseball. You've got foul balls and home runs and those cardboard cutouts have a good chance of getting some camera time. I don't know how much in a football game you're going to get camera time with your cardboard cutout. I mean, I guess it could happen. They scan the crowd, but I guess it's a little more rare.
Good B-roll. I mean, there'll be a lot of it. They're going to show it. They show it in all the other sports. Why not? Come on. It is going to be fun, but OU fans, I'm sure it got the juices flowing a little bit when Braden Willis said that Spencer Rattler had some Baker energy. Yeah, I think some people were excited. But, yeah, I'm with you. Cardboard cutouts, much better. Much better. Now, Ted, let's preview the Oklahoma defense. Year two under Alex Grinch, they feel a lot better about their depth. Now, once again, quick reminder that a lot can change quickly with guys testing positive and the contact tracing and all of that stuff. Like, that is going to be a factor. Hopefully it's not a factor for Oklahoma, but you don't really know. So, and I cannot believe I'm going to say this. And the defense, that's kind of your thing. So I'm going to let you roll on this. But let's start with what I believe is perceived as the strength of this defense. The secondary, am I crazy? I think that's how it feels, right?
I think the secondary is improved over a year ago. I think the safety position, they've just got that year under their belt. I think they're going to be better at corner, first off, because Trey Brown is playing out of his mind right now. And then you add Norwood, which gives them more size there at the corner position. And I think more consistency, good tackler, just a good all-around player. So I think the secondary is improved over last year. The strength of the team, I hope it ends up that way. I hope it ends up that way. Now,
you always want the defensive line to be your strongest unit on your defense. Like, if you have a badass defensive line, a lot of things fall into place. But having a good secondary, I mean, in the Big 12, and I know people think, oh, it's all air raid. It's not that. The Big 12 is really not like that anymore. I mean, there's more an emphasis on running the football now, but having a good secondary is still very important in modern football. Like, it is. So I've heard the same things you've heard, but you don't think that's the strength of this defense? You're going to say linebackers.
I think the linebacker group is incredibly deep, and depending how, like, I separate the inside backers from the edge guys.
Right.
I know, like, roster wise, people include those, but I include the rush backer as, just a defensive end. Here's the thing, and it's the same as offense. If the offensive line is the strength of your team or your offense, everyone else looks way better. So if your defensive line and your pass rush and those guys are disruptive and getting to the quarterback, well, then your secondary is going to look really good. I don't care how good your secondary is. If there's no pressure on the quarterback, I mean, you're going to get picked apart on the back end. So it all works together. And so it's kind of hard to say what the real strength of the team is. I think the secondary's improved. They like their safeties, but I still think they could be a lot better there. They've got consistent guys, but I don't know that they've got, like, game changing type of talent there.
Right. I'm not sure that they consider Delaire Turner-Yell or Pat Fields kind of like as an elite player, but there's been kind of some arguments within the staff. Which one of these guys has improved more? Mm-hmm. Right. It's good to hear that they're playing at a significantly higher level. And then I don't think we can overblow what we're hearing about Trey Brown. It's like he's a different human being. I was told that behind Creed Humphrey, Trey Brown is the second best overall player on this entire football team, which, if you would have told me that at the end of last year, I'd have been like, I mean, he's really fast. I like his competitiveness, but really? I mean, that you think he's that good? And it just seems like I don't know if a switch flipped or what happened. He's pissed.
Which is good. I mean, you've seen some of the stuff he said on social media. He's tired of getting overlooked. And, hey, it's working great for him. And I know I've referenced it several times, but Grinch told me way back in early winter that Trey Brown is a completely different guy than he was a year before. Completely different. He's a leader. He's holding everyone accountable. He's flying to the football. And here's the thing, man. When you're the fastest guy on the field, it always helps. You're always going to be one of the better players out there. And he is the fastest guy on the field.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch him. Just from everything we've heard, I'm really excited to watch him. All right, let's talk about the linebackers. Teddy, this is kind of your thing. You know a thing or two about linebacker play. And it seems like it's Asamoah, Agwebu, Deshaun White. Is there another name that could be in the mix there, the inside linebacker core, or is that kind of how you see this?
That's going to be the bulk of the guys that we see. But here's the thing. They're deeper than they've ever been. That's going to be the main rotation, but they go even deeper with that than with guys that you feel really comfortable about contributing. I think that Asamoah, and I've been waiting and waiting for this guy for
you
to flip.
You have bought Asamoah stock the second you saw him. you were like, okay, I'm in on this kid, and you've been – like, we talk about him all the time.
Yeah, and it's there. The one thing that he lacks is consistency. I mean, every now and then he'll make a play, and you're just like, that is All-American level. That's, you know, NFL level type of play right there. The way he can trigger, the quick twitch, he's got instincts. But sometimes that's a bad thing for linebackers whenever you've got those instincts and you feel like something's happening and you trigger and you're in the wrong spot, especially with the RPO game and they hit stuff in behind you. So
that's you love the one RPOs. Thing,
yeah, it's cheating. That's the one thing that he has to work on is just being a little bit more consistent and picking those times to really go. But he's going to be an unbelievable player this year. So between Agwebu, who's a monster, at Mike Backer, and he's moved from outside to inside, which is the most difficult thing to do on defense, is move from outside backer, edge player, to inside backer. It's a completely different world. He's adapted well, but he's still having some of those growing pains, and that's going to continue. But I think by the end of the year, he's going to be playing really good. Deshaun White, he's been one of those guys that has a lot of talent, and he's a consistent player, but he's kind of lacked the wow factor. And I think Asamoah continuing to get better and better has kind of lit a fire to where he's got to go make some plays. So those two guys, number 23 and 24, have been fighting back and forth all camp. And it's raised the level of play at the Will Backer position quite a bit. I mean, overall as a group, it's strange to say, but we will be better at backer this year than we were last year, and we had a first-round pick last year. So
you're right. That is strange to say, but once again, it's great to have elite players, right? It is great. And we said something similar to about the wide receiver position, you know, in the offensive preview. But when you have guys that are good and you have more of them, you have that depth, like, there's less of a drop-off if something happens. And the thing I keep hearing about this defense is there's no longer weak links, right? And that's huge. And you talk about how the defensive line and the linebacker, the front seven, they complement what the secondary is doing. Like, when you have those weak links, they can become glaring flaws on the defensive side of the ball. And it sounds like the linebacker position is a perfect example. Like, the Will Backer spot was not a strength for this team last year. It was a weakness, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be a weakness. It seems like there's going to be a good player that is going to be consistent at that spot, and that makes the defense as a whole better.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I liken it to – this is a weird analogy, but when you get a massage –
oh, okay.
You get like there's a spot where it really hurts, and then the masseuse just sits there and hammers that spot, and you're wiggling on the table. That's what offenses do. If they find a weakness in the defense, they exploit it over and over and over, and there's really nothing you can do as a defense. You know, when it's there and people know it's there, offenses are just going to continue to hammer that. So I think all around they're going to have a much better play at backer. And it's going to be because of a lot of things. Guys being in the system another year, I think the guys have improved physically. Oddly, they've gotten bigger at backer after we lost a first-round pick, which is a big linebacker. We've gotten bigger. So I think it's going to be really good. And the big key is the defensive line is playing better, and the secondary is playing better. And it always works together. And when you're getting better play at those two levels, naturally for linebacker, it makes your job easier and you fly around. You're able to make the plays that you're supposed to. It's easier whenever you're making the play you're supposed to instead of having to go and do extra and fill in for someone else that's out of position.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a lot better place. Let's talk about that defensive line, and let's start with, you know, that defensive end slash edge player, rushbacker, whatever the hell you want to call it. They play on the edge. They're not interior defensive linemen. We call them edge players. So Perkins is suspended. You're starting to hear phrases like, Well, when we get Perk back, and that kind of tells me that they're not expecting this guy to be available. So we'll see who steps up. But remember how I said if there was one player I could buy stock in on the offense, it would be Stogkowski, as you're calling him.
Yes.
Well, from everything I've been told, the guy to buy stock in on defense is Nick Bonitto. I've had some people tell me he's the best. And when I heard this, I was like, really? Bonitto? Because he seemed like kind of the wheels were really spinning mentally for him last year. Like, he's one of those players last year, you could physically see him thinking out on the field, which is never a good thing for a defensive player.
He was like tapping his helmet like,
Well, that happened. No, but I had someone tell me that he is the best natural pass rusher they've had since Oboe. Like the improvement that he has made from where he was at in the Peach Bowl to where he is now is night and day. So I'm going to go out on a limb here, and this is my bold defensive prediction for the year. I know people are like, hey, will they be a top 20 defense, all that stuff. I'm not getting it. I'm looking at one guy, and that's Nick Bonitto. And I know there's a few less games, so I may have to prorate this at some point. But Nick Bonitto, if he stays healthy all year, that's obviously a caveat, he will have double-digit sacks this season. You heard it here first. Nick Bonitto, double-digit sacks. I'm going out on that limb. That sounds insane from what we saw from him last year, but I'm going to trust what I'm hearing. I guess this guy has just turned into a monster of a pass rusher.
Nope, that's exactly right. And I'll take it a step further.
I think he
leads the Big 12 in sacks / tackles for loss. I'll take it that far with the guy. He is everything that you said. He's natural there, and something has clicked. Again, you know, you can see whenever it guys just all of a sudden don't have to think about where they're supposed to be or what they're doing, and they can just go. And that's what you're seeing from Bonitto right now. And what's going to help him the most is when they get Perkins back and on the other side, you know, and you know, instead of sending the back over there to chip and stuff all the time on Bonitto, you'll have two really good edge guys, and that's going to help a lot. Now, if you really want to buy stock, Gabe,
ooh.
I got a penny stock for you, buddy, that's going to turn into an Amazon. True freshman, Brendan Walker. Okay.
I've had Brendan Walker stock for years. He's a McGinnis guy. What do you mean? Oh, yeah, like I don't know about Walker. Come on, man. Let's go.
I'm talking more so to the listeners out there. Like you, I guess you're like, I mean, you were in on this thing from the beginning, right? Like you're an angel investor.
This is true. Kurt Baldwin, who's the strength coach over at McGinnis and is the defensive coordinator over at McGinnis, he was like, dude, you got to watch this kid's film. Like he's turned into a monster. And I sent it to a couple guys on the staff. And I was like, guys, they don't come across often at McGinnis, right? Guys that I think that are good enough to play at OU. I was like, this guy's good enough, whether it's fullback, H-back on offense or as an edge guy, he's good enough. He's got the work ethic. He's good enough. And I'm not going to take credit for it because they already knew who he was, but I'd like to think that gave him a little nudge, you know?
That's right. Well, he was a monster then, and he continues to grow over 250 pounds, doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. You know, he's still a little mechanical like you're going to see from some of the younger guys, but is an absolute beast, flies to the football. He's one of those guys that never turns it off, just killing people running down the field on special teams. I mean, that's
what we do, baby.
He's going to be a beast. And they've got a lot of good guys. John Michael Terry, who feels like he played when you did, Gabe. He's been around for a long time. But, you know, he's there.
Like the Perry Ellis of college football. seems like he's been around for forever.
Here's the what I think is the best, like, kind of overall picture of everything. This is starting to look like an elite defense. We got a backer, a Mike backer, that's 6'4", 255 pounds. Benito at edge is going to be around 250. All of your guys across the interior are big, long arm, physical guys. And that front seven looks like an elite defense for the first time in a long time, like as a total group. We've had guys here and there, but as a total group, they look the part.
And I don't want to give you too much credit, but it's starting to look a lot like an early 2000s defense in Norman with the body types. And when you just look at the guys, you go, oh shit, look at those guys. Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously the 08 team and those stuff, like they had guys like that as well. But you go back and when you were playing and you just looked up at that defense physically and you're like, this isn't going to be much fun. Now, I guess if there's one weakness for this defense or perceived weakness at this point, it's got to be interior defensive line. I'm not sure where to put Jalen Redmond, edge guy, interior guy. He's kind of like Thibodeau keeps talking about cross training guys, right? He's kind of both. I don't really know where to put him, but when you look
what
at
I said, you don't have to worry about where to put him.
Okay. There we go. All right. I didn't want to. Okay. Yep. Okay. Moving on. So the weakness appears to be interior defensive line. Laron Stokes is a good player. He was a productive player last year, showed us some really good things. He's got to build on what he did last season. He needs to be more disruptive than he was. But the guy I keep hearing that is going to be a force eventually in the middle is Perrion Winfrey, the JUCO transfer. Now, it seems like it's taken him a little bit, right? With COVID and all this stuff, had to learn the defense on Zoom. They didn't have spring ball. Like, all these factors kind of stacked up against him improving. But, Ted, I think they feel really good about the progress he's made in this short window of training camp.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, the weakness of the defense, like – I mean,
I don't know how else to put it. Like,
no, you're right.
They're not as good as the rest of the defense. Like, I don't know how to put it in a frame it in a nice way.
Right. I mean, it's probably the least developed. But man, if you're talking about Benito, Ronnie Perkins, whenever he's back, Winfrey, I mean, it's going to be one of the best defensive lines in the Big 12. So it may be the best defensive line in the Big 12 by the time it's all said and done. They've got great depth. Like, we weren't sure what it was going to be, but they're getting good play from Isaiah Thomas. They're getting good play from Laron Stokes. They're getting good play from a bunch of different guys. Corey Roberson has played really well. I mean, they've got some dudes that are playing good. Good, consistent play. And you've got to have depth at D-line. I mean – it's one of those sayings. It's not like any other position where you're going to play six guys and they're going to rotate through. You may go 2-3 reps before you're rotating guys out. So you've got to be really deep at defensive line. And I think they got that. I think Winfrey can be a big time difference maker with the way we play our defensive line here, where they shoot, penetrate gaps, explode off the football. He's going to be a wrecking ball on the inside. So, I mean, I would agree that it's probably the weakest position group on the defense, but like when you look at it in the whole picture of the Big 12, it's not a weak group. It's one of the best groups out there, maybe the best group.
Right. And I guess the cynical side of me says, well, that's kind of how it always has been the last couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. My thing is, when you look at this defensive line most and you focus on the interior, if they get to a college football playoff and they have to play a Bama or a Clemson, do they have the dudes to hold up against an elite team? That's the question. And we won't know that answer until we see these guys play, you know, play Texas and Oklahoma State and these teams. But that's the big question. Like, do they have the guys? Because I think the edge guys, like Perkins, he's an early round draft pick. Like, he's got what it takes to hold up against teams like that. Seems like Benito is trending that way as well. But those interior guys, like when they play another top five program, like another team that has been recruiting and been just winning conference championships and all those things, will those guys hold up in those games? That's the big question. And they haven't held up in the last couple college football playoffs. I mean, obviously Gallimore did his thing, but that's the big question. Now I do have one more question for you. Mm-hmm. Because you look at OU's defense, you look at Oklahoma State's defense. And I'm really interested to see what Oklahoma State's defense looks like this season. They've got all those starters back. Now, I don't think there's a lot of elite players, but there's two guys that you and I really like for Oklahoma State. And that's Malcolm Rodriguez at linebacker and Colby Harvell-Peel at safety. Now, this is the question. Who's the best defensive player playing college football in the state of Oklahoma? Are you taking Rodriguez? Are you taking Harvell-Peel? You taking Ronnie Perkins, even though he's suspended? You taking Trey Brown with what we're hearing about him? Like, if you had to pick one, who's the best college football player in the state of Oklahoma on the defensive side of the ball?
I would take Ronnie Perkins and not even think about it. I think he has a chance to be the best defensive player in the Big 12. And honestly, I might take Perkins, Benito, and Trey Brown before I took anyone on Oklahoma State's team.
Okay. Benito, like they got – listen.
He's going to lead – I'm telling you, he's going to lead the Big 12 in tackles for loss and sacks.
Right. We can say that, but ultimately – I mean, Rodriguez and Harvell-Peel.
He's a good player. But
they've been productive. Like,
I hate to say this as a former inside backer, but inside backer in the grand scheme of things is weighted very low as far and safety is the very next position. Like, if you're going to pick positions to be great, you want to be great at edge and you want to be great at corner. So that's why I would take Perkins, true, Benito, and Trey.
I got you. But I'm just saying, like, you can't take Benito ahead of those guys. He hadn't had any production yet. Like, maybe at least let's make him earn it just a little bit.
Okay.
Right? In real games. Come on, man. Come on. But I'm with you. There's nothing more important on defense than having guys that can get to the quarterback, because as the old adage goes, you only have to cover for as long as it takes your pass rush to get there.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
Well, that's the Oklahoma defense.
Hey, last
preview.
Thing.
Ooh.
I'll just say this. This year they're going to be better than they were a year ago. But next year is when it's all going to come together. And my prediction is they'll be a top five defense next year.
Top five. Ooh. Mm-hmm. You know what? OU fans are going to love hearing that. And they're going to be like, but we care about this year. This year.
I get that. But, hey, you know, there's going to be a lot of those Big Ten defenses are always ranked really high. They're not going to be around this year. So, our rating this year is going to be a little bit higher than it typically would. So,
love it.
No telling where we're going to end up.
Love it. Well, there's your OU defense preview. Now, we're going to do the National College Football Roundup a little different. Ted, we're going to go rapid fire. But the roundup is brought to you by Insurica. Do you own a business? If you do, you need Insurica in your life. Insurica is one of the country's largest insurance brokers with 30 offices throughout Oklahoma, Texas, and the Southwest. Insurica is able to customize programs by accessing the latest information from many insurance carriers. They compare and contrast coverage offerings and pricing in order to design a cost-effective, comprehensive program to meet your business's specific needs. Insurica's clients become best-in-class businesses by working with Insurica's team of advisors to manage risk. Purchasing insurance is only one way to protect your business. Best-in-class businesses win by avoiding a loss in the first place. If your business partners with Insurica, you'll save huge amounts of money and take back control of your total cost of risk. I'm an Insurica client, and you should be too. If your business wants to be best-in-class, connect with Insurica at insurica.com. That's insurica.com. All right, we've got four stories. Here we go. College football roundup. The Pac-12 made a deal with Quidel Quidel, I don't know how to say it, Quidel Corporation, who manufactures rapid COVID-19 tests. They will be able to provide athletes with daily testing, and it is considered a big game changer for the Pac-12 conference. Now, Larry Scott, the commissioner out there in the Pac-12, said he talks to Kevin Warren often, and it is a high priority for the Pac-12 to align their season with the Big Ten. And Larry Scott basically said they want to have the Rose Bowl. They want to have it. I mean, it's pretty fun, but I don't know. And then the Football Oversight Committee is recommending an 8-game spring season over 13 weeks that must end by April 17th for conferences that postpone football to the spring. They also said that those teams would have 15 practices available to them in the fall. So basically spring ball in the fall. The D1 Council will vote on this on September 16th. And then last but not least, in a shocking development, Dabo Swinney doesn't want to wait for the Big Ten, the Pac-12, if they start in, you know, November, late October, whatever's being discussed. He doesn't think that the rest of college football should wait for them to play the college football playoff. I am shocked. I mean, personally shocked by that. So those are the four stories, Ted. Anything surprising?
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 making that deal with the Quidel Corporation, I think is huge. It's all of a sudden got everyone else around the country saying, hey, yeah, we want the rapid test too. And that's a game changer. Here's what's interesting about it to me. You know, the Big Ten has been saying, well, let's play October 10th. Well, let's start Thanksgiving weekend. And all of those things are fine. But here's the thing. Their vote was 11-3 against. And that got made public. And once that got made public, you know, here's how political this thing is. And this is how this stuff always goes. You have to have a reason for those folks to change their vote. Right. If they just change their vote whenever nothing has changed, well, everyone calls them spineless cowards for changing or spineless cowards for voting the way they did to begin with. So that's what's interesting about like the Pac-12 with what they've got now has a reason to where someone can say, OK, we've got a rapid test. We can find out within 15 minutes. I can change my vote because of this. This is a game changer. So if the Big Ten can get that and implement that because something's going to have to change for everyone to flip their vote. And they may not flip their vote anyways.
Yeah. And one of the Football Oversight Committee recommendation for me, like, okay, 8-game spring season, they give you essentially spring ball in the fall. But the interesting thing about it is they did add this little nugget into their recommendation. And they said if a team starts in the late fall, that they're not going to get any sort of extra practices. So I think that was a direct message to the Pac-12 and the Big Ten who've, you know, we've heard it floated out there. What Thanksgiving type start date? I think that was a little message saying like, you sure about that? You sure about that, guys? You sure that's a good idea? So It is interesting, and that D1 Council vote on September 16th, I think a lot of people are very interested to see what that looks like. So, yeah, it seems like the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they're kind of a package deal at this point, right?
Well, my question is, why do they want to start in November and play that season? Like, I mean, I guess the one thing that you have is if you play it in a true spring season, you're going to lose all of your NFL capable guys. Like all of those guys that would have gone to the draft, you're going to lose them.
But, undoubtedly.
But if your competition is losing them too, who cares? I mean,
right.
At the end of the day, if you play in the fall, you're not going to be able to play for a college football playoff. You know, I mean, you're not going to be able to go to the traditional bowl games that we see out there. So I guess I don't know what the real reason is and why that's such a priority now that they're going to miss the start of the season. And the only thing I can think of is the missing the players that go to the NFL. But here's the thing. That happens all the time, and there may be a game changer, so to speak, with the rapid test or maybe a vaccine by the time you play, because that was the original reason. We're waiting on a vaccine. And, you know, so if you have that, well, maybe in the spring you can play football in front of a full stadium, which is at this point maybe worth waiting for if you're not going to be a part of the college football playoff.
I think the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they need to be united on this. I have very little faith that that will happen after what we've seen from the Power Five over the last few months. But I think it's important. They need to get their shit together, and they need to put out a plan before the Big 12 kicks off. Before the ACC kicks off, certainly before the SEC kicks off on September 26th. Like, they need to put their plan out there. Like, it needs to be, because right now the PR is, whew, I mean, they're just getting hammered, especially the Big Ten. So we'll see what happens. But now we do have one more piece of news for the National College Football Roundup. Teddy, I will just let you take it from here.
Well, yeah, so yesterday, which would have Thursday, I got a text message from someone in the know saying that TCU has sent everyone home from their facility, sent the players aren't allowed to come in, the locker room is shut down, the weight room is shut down. They sent all the coaches away from the facility. I guess they had a test, and what they got back was bad enough to where they kind of had to shut everything down. And depending on the amount of guys in the contact tracing situation, there's a really good chance, and I would say likely, that their opener Friday against SMU is going to be canceled. So,
they play for the Iron Skillet or whatever.
Is that what it is?
I think it's something like that. It's like the 100th time. It's a big one. But I'm excited for that game.
I know. And it's a Friday night. It was going to have a ton of eyes on it. It's probably the best non-conference game in the entire Big 12. And you hate to see it. I don't know if it's going to be replayed. I don't know if they're going to bump it back. Here's the real problem. You know, they took the test on Wednesday. Okay, which was what, the third? Is that right? Wednesday the third? And the
– Wednesday was the second?
Second. Okay,
math
Wednesday
is hard.
The second. So, I mean, they're gonna have guys – like, they. I don't even know that they can bump it back a week, even if that was – if they were able to, if you're talking about the 14-day or 10-day quarantine. So, I don't know, man. I think it's – it's not what you want to see, but we need to prepare ourselves for this. And, you know, like baseball and, you know, some of the different stuff we've seen out there, you got to be able to absorb it and move on. And it's like the one last hurdle to get through. Can you survive cancellations without everyone just totally panicking? And it looks like we're going to find out early.
Well, this sucks, but it's the new reality.
Huh. Yeah.
Bummer. All right, Ted, let's get to the main attraction. We've got an awesome interview from some guy named Bob Stoops. Some guy, we may have played for him. But it's really fun to see Coach Stoops at where he's at right now. And that interview is brought to you by Tim Hughes Custom Homes. Are you looking to build your dream home? If so, Tim Hughes is the man you're looking for. Tim Hughes Custom Homes is a one-stop shop for all your home building needs. He can find you a lot. He can find you an architect. He'll find you financing. And of course, he can build your dream home exactly the way you want it. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, Tim found my wife and me a lot. He found us an architect and built our new house. Tim and his team were so easy to work with. He is still helping us with some things when we have questions around the house. He's built several office buildings. So if your business is looking to build a custom office, Tim Hughes is your man. You can see Tim's custom builds throughout Gallardia, Nichols Hills, Oak Tree, Stone Mill, and Rose Creek. It is a great time to build the house of your dreams. For more information and to see Tim's spectacular work, visit his Instagram page at Tim Hughes Custom Homes or visit timhughescustomhomes.com. All right, here's Bob Stoops. It is our pleasure to be joined, well, I mean, by our coach. I don't know how else to put it. I guess I could say also now the face of rock and roll tequila. What is going on with that?
Well, I wasn't able to do it before. I didn't have the time, and I don't think the university would have probably been real on board with me being the head coach and the face of rock and roll tequila.
That would have been a dynamic combination.
Hey, I'm out of a job now, so a guy's got to do something.
I love it. I saw – so the article came out yesterday from Jason Kersey with The Athletic, and I just love that. And I don't know if it was the first appearance that you did, but it was one of the first down there in Florida at the Hard Rock. And it just so happened to be the same time that Florida State was looking for a head coach. So you had to deal with all of that stuff.
Well, not as much as you think. All of that's going on around me. Most of the time, I don't even realize it, you know, and don't pay much attention to it. And I was at a great event. It was for the Dan Marino's Foundation, his charity. So I was with a great group of people at a great venue with my rock and roll tequila team. And so that's all I was down there for, and enjoyed the evening.
So now I've not tried the rock and roll tequila. I need to get my hands on some. I'm going to go track it down, coach. But just let's get a thorough breakdown of what we're working with here. Like, how many different kinds, you know, what's the price point? Like, what kind of occasion should I drink it for? Like, give me the thorough breakdown of this product.
Well, they've got some great, the mango one has probably been, most popular. It's just simple. You just put it with a little bit of club soda or straight.
Ooh.
And they call it, you get a 3/4 shot of mango, and you top the rest of that shot off with a little orange juice, and you drop it in a Modelo.
Oh, I like that.
It's pretty strong now. So, but they've got the clear. They've got new strawberry coming out soon. They've got they've got the platinum as well. They've got a couple of different clear bottles. They've got the mango, and then they've got the strawberry on its way.
Rock and roll tequila bombs, count me in. I think that sounds awesome. But that's a lot of fun. So the one thing I wanted to ask you is, so the XFL thing, you know, I thought it was off to a great start. It was a lot of fun. Heck, I was down in Mexico on a vacation with Alan Carter, and they've got it up on the TV screen down there, and it was all over, and there was a lot of people watching. It was getting good TV ratings, and then gosh, the virus comes in and just killed everything. But The Rock has come in and purchased that thing, and looks like he's going to try and continue it. Have you had any talks with maybe continuing on with the XFL?
Not lately. They had inquired if I'd have any interest a while back, and you know, under the right circumstances, possibly. But, you know, let's face it, I think they're still trying to figure out. I know they want to move forward with it, or they wouldn't have purchased it. But I think everyone's trying to wait and see, you know, where we're going to end up with the whole virus and how everybody's going to handle it. When is the Big Ten actually going to play or not play? What's going to happen when we do start playing? I think there's just too many uncertainties for them to move forward, you know, just yet. But surely they wouldn't have purchased it out of bankruptcy not to put it back on the field.
Now, coach, I know it came to an abrupt and unfortunate end, but how are you enjoying it? I mean, was it everything you hoped it was going to be? I know that it was the spring. You kind of had this short season. That way you could, you know, still kind of scratch the football itch a little bit, like before it just came to a halt because the coronavirus. Like, were you having fun?
You know, I really was. The guys were great to work with. It was all football, which everyone knows. The guys were older guys that have played a lot of football, so they picked everything up really, you know, in a quick way. Really pleasant guys to be around, a bunch of good, fun attitudes to be around every day. And you didn't have to worry. You didn't have to have an academic meeting every morning. I didn't have to have a compliance meeting once a week. You know, certain things like that were where it was just football. It was a lot of fun. I was enjoying it. And it tells you how much I was enjoying it. We were 2-3 and I was enjoying it.
I played in the league.
That's
pretty
the only losing record I've ever had.
Oh gosh, you guys got to get back out there and finish the season. Then
he's got to get back. This can't be on the resume.
Well,
no,
there's an asterisk next to it. Season wasn't complete.
There's no doubt. I mean, you mentioned it was just football, which is always streamlines everything, makes it really enjoyable. But talk about not being just football. The virus stuff this year has just been crazy. I mean, what Lincoln Riley has had to go through just with the testing and the protocols, sending the guys home, bringing them back, all the different stuff that they're going through. I mean, just what's your view of what the college football world's been like here over the last 6 months or so?
Well, it's probably not just the football world. It's been challenging for everybody. Just think of the people that are out of jobs, out of work, businesses closed. So, you know, football is just another part of that. Everybody's been struggling. Everybody's been finding a different way to navigate it, to work through it, and to keep pushing forward. I think that's the main thing, is try to keep finding ways to push forward in a positive way, whatever that is. And I think Lincoln's done a great job with the football team and his messaging, and the guys have done their best to stay on the field and keep pushing forward. And hopefully it'll continue that way.
Quick break just to tell you about our friends at Advanced Weight Loss Clinic of Sand Springs. They'll help you execute a realistic and achievable weight loss plan designed for you and only you. They've got all kinds of treatments for men and women. Their licensed and trained experts combine diet and exercise with hormone therapies to maximize your results. If you're struggling with low libido or low energy, Advanced Weight Loss Clinic of Sand Springs can help with that too. They also offer Botox and fillers. To get on the path to losing weight, call 918-241-LOSE or visit their Facebook page. If you mention the podcast, you'll get a free fat burner injection. All right, back to Bob. Coach, you've always, you know, talked about how great you think Joe Castiglione is and the leadership there at Oklahoma. Have you been, so you're probably not surprised at all, but What do you think it means that they've kind of been at the forefront? It seems like Oklahoma's been leading, and a lot of people have kind of been following their lead when it comes to what they're doing, when it comes to protocols and all those things. And I think it just really, really represents the university well, not just the football program. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no question. And we, again, I've said it a lot. We've always had great leadership at Oklahoma, and it starts really not just with Joe Castiglione, but now Joe Harris, you know, who I've got great faith in, and you know, just a great, great leader and a guy that understands the university in such a great way. So, you know, from Joe Harris on down through Joe Castiglione, we've got people making decisions to Lincoln Riley, you know, that know what they're doing and, are going to be thoughtful and concerned about athletes and students, all of them together, but keep doing their best to find ways to move forward. Like I said earlier in a positive way, you got to keep moving forward in some kind of positive way.
You know, with all this going on, you know, as Lincoln Riley's football team, somehow you still got to stay focused on going out and trying to win a championship. And from what you've seen and heard and talking to the people around there, do you feel like that's happened? Do you feel like this group has stayed focused kind of, even though there's a lot of, you could say, more important things out there going on, are these guys focused and doing the things they need to do to go compete for a championship?
Well, it sure seems that way. I've only been by a couple of practices, but it sure seems that way. Again, just from everything that I've heard and talked to guys there on the team and or, you know, some of the coaches, that they have navigated this really as well as they possibly could. And I do believe once they get into game week next week, you know, those guys are going to be locked in on winning. That's what we do. And when it's time to practice or in your meetings, they're going to be focused on being prepared to play well. You know, that's what we're used to doing.
Now, Coach, it's going to be a really weird year because of the coronavirus. And if you were still, you know, at the helm there in Norman, like, how would you approach getting guys reps in practice? Because it seems like you don't know when a few guys will be knocked out with the contact tracing stuff. You don't know if an entire position group, you know, will have to quarantine, all these things. Like, how would you approach that from a rep standpoint? Because those reps are so valuable during a game week. And it's like, it seems like you need to have damn near the whole team ready to play.
And I believe that's kind of always our strategy anyway. As you know, you and Teddy both playing for us through the spring and in summer two-a-days, we get a lot of snaps. We often have two inside drills going at the same time. We'll have two team periods at the same time. You know, you've got two team periods going at the same time. That's a lot of guys, 44 guys getting snaps all at once. So, and Lincoln's always kept that approach as well. So I think you're right in that there's going to be – everybody's going to do their best to have more guys available and ready to play and up on the game plan and, you know, ready to jump in. And it may cause you even, you know, as a staff to simplify maybe a little bit more, you know, in some cases, whether it be offense, defense, whatever you're trying to do, so that more guys can go in and play without making mistakes.
It's great to get your view and your insight as a coach, but we can now also get it as a parent. I mean, you've got a boy on the team. Did you ever have any hesitation or think that maybe it's not safe or worried about sending your boy out there to play with the virus going on?
No, not at all. I got total trust in our medical staff at the university and with you know, with all our athletic teams. We've got great doctors. We've got, you know, everybody involved. Like I talked about earlier, the leadership has done their due diligence to make sure we've got all the different protocols and testing, doing everything that they can to make sure that it's safe. And I'm also realistic from what I've heard, I'm no expert. Around the world, I don't know that any athlete has been hospitalized. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's a lot of athletes around the world.
We would have known. That would have been front page news for sure.
So point being, you know, when you look at around the world, whether it be, you know, soccer, the baseball, this, that, and the other, there's so many sports going on and not one athlete has been hospitalized. And I feel a lot safer that if my son's out there playing that he'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I pray that everyone is, you know, and again, I'm no expert.
Right. Yeah. Now, speaking of Drake, are we going to see a little more Drake on the field this year? You've been out to practice a little bit. Is he going to get a little more of an opportunity this year in the slot? Like, what are we thinking?
Well, we'll see. You know, that's not for me to say. I'm not making those decisions anymore. So, you know, from what I understand, he's had a really good spring and summer, and they feel really good about him when he's in there, you know, in the inside receiver position. So hopefully it amounts to some, you know, some more time on the field and opportunities to make some plays.
I mean, it's crazy. Could you ever imagine a situation to where maybe we've got half of the Power Five playing a season in the fall and then half playing in the spring, and like what that may mean for the sport moving forward? It's strange to think that you're going to be watching all of those teams play. I know they've talked about moving it up to Thanksgiving or maybe even before that, but
or just maybe the fact even that, right after the election.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Isn't it strange though, to think
there's no that, politics in football, Coach? What are you talking about?
There shouldn't be.
Right. I mean, just the fact that we may have two different college football seasons, you know, and how strange that'll be.
I'm looking at it selfishly. I get to watch football almost all year.
Right.
So we'll see. You know, I don't know. You know, everybody's going to kind of has that wait and see mentality. So just got my fingers crossed and prayerful as well that everybody can do it safely and continue, like I keep saying, keep moving forward in some kind of positive way.
So you are, obviously, you are an Iowa guy, and you know, I've never been to Iowa City, but it seems like football means a lot to the people there. So what are you hearing? Because I assume you still talk to guys you played with there. Obviously, you've coached with a bunch of them. But what are you kind of hearing from the people around Iowa football? Like, they're about to watch the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC play football here very soon, and they're just going to be sitting there. Like, that's got to be awful for them.
Yeah, it has to be. And I, truth be told, I haven't spoke with anyone. Kirk Ferentz is a great friend of mine, but I haven't been in touch with them here lately. So that's going to be very strange for all of those teams. You know, it isn't just people love their football at Iowa. Columbus, Ohio, they don't do too – they're pretty supportive as well with the 110,000 people. So anyway, it's going to be very different for them to be sitting there, you know, like kind of in a spring mode while everyone else is out there playing. Hopefully, though, you know, hopefully we're all playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about. Like, for instance, if you're in Michigan, Michigan's going to have high school football going. They're going to have the NFL with the Lions going, but no college football. It's the same way in Ohio and in a bunch of the other states around. But I think you timed it pretty good, Coach. I mean, you may miss it at times, but I bet you don't miss it this year.
Well, I was out of practice maybe, I guess it was just last week, and I was talking to Lincoln from a distance, but we were visiting, and I said, any of those times over the last few years where I mentioned I miss this and I miss that, I sure as hell don't miss it now.
Quick break to tell you about our friends at Sound Advice. A lot of us are going to be watching our favorite football teams from home this year, which is why you need to get ready for game day with a home theater system from our friends at Sound Advice. Sound Advice can customize your home entertainment system indoors or outdoors. Sound Advice did the Wi-Fi network and all the audiovisual work at my new house, and it is awesome. They hide all the wires and cable boxes, so it looks great. I can control every TV in my house from my phone or iPad. It's fantastic. My internet has been flawless for the best home theater systems in the Oklahoma City area. Call Sound Advice at 405-549-3880 or visit soundadviceokc.com. All right, back to Bob. So do you feel, and I know you've talked about it publicly several times, you know, kind of struggling to adjust, right? And that it's been more difficult than you thought it would be. Do you feel like you've fully adjusted, you know, getting away from the game? I know you had the XFL, but is it starting to feel normal?
Well, first of all, I'm not struggling more than I thought I would. I was very aware how strange this was going to be. So none of that caught me by surprise. So, you know, some things will never go away. There's just no way to, to get that kind of adrenaline rush. You miss the fight and the struggle, and nothing else fills that void. You know, it's just not out there. So, you know, that part, you know, will never kind of leave you, but you learn, you know, as you go, you know, go through it all, that there's, you know, other parts of life that you could spend more time, with your family, traveling out on the golf course, whatever it is, you know, living in a different way. And you start to learn to forget about that struggle and fight that you get, becomes so, it's so addicting, as you guys know. And then you don't have it. You just need to learn to, you know, every now and then I'll be watching something. I'm like, oh, they're having fun. You know, they're in the middle of a tough game. Or I was watching Billy Donovan come back, you know, just, you know, in game six, what a great finish. And, you know, so anyhow, you're reminded of it now and then, but I do my best not to dwell on it very much.
I still have dreams of there's a football game happening and I'm supposed to be there, but I can't get to the field. Does that ever happen to you where you have these moments like you're supposed to be at a football game and you can't get there?
Yeah. Somehow you missed the bus. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's in roundabout ways. Definitely. You have those kind of dreams.
Now, Coach, I just got one more for you. Now, you cut your teeth as a coach on defense, right? You were known as one of the best defensive coordinators as a head coach, very defensive focused. And I'm just curious, when you watch OU on defense now under Alex Grinch, like, what stands out to you? You know, what kind of catches your eye about the scheme? I don't expect you to go into a dive, like a deep X's and O's conversation, but what do you think when you watch this scheme play on the field at OU?
I think Alex does an excellent job of challenging offenses to react to him and to the defense, as opposed to the defense always having to react to the offense. When I say challenges them, he's going to bring stunts different ways. He's going to cross them up with a blitz. He's going to cross them up with some kind of defensive line twist, linebacker stunning or blitzing. You know, he's going to make the offense, and they do a nice job of disguising it. And then he makes them have to react to him, as opposed to, again, and always having to react to the offense. You know how it is. If you've got a edge blitz on and you disguise it well and they run a boot right into it, well, it's a gotcha, you know. And, you know, so that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes there's, you know, that's what I mean by making the offense have to react to what you're doing sometimes. And he does a good job of that, of challenging them with different stunts.
I was actually thinking about this the other day. You know, defenses, as the sport evolves, you know, it changes. You go to different body types that you put in different positions. And I came across the name for whatever reason, but Javon Kearse, that you coached at Florida, I was like, he is the perfect player for this day and age. The versatility, the edge guy, could get out and cover. It's those players that can do just more than just one thing. You gotta have guys that can cover, that can run. And I was just thinking that he fit that bill. And a lot of people forget that you coached him and how great of a player he was.
Yeah, the freak. I've watched Javon. Was a great person, great player at Florida. And we'd be out there, you know, how guys are waiting around to start practice, and the receivers, quarterbacks would be running fades or throwing, you know, getting loosened up. Javon could go out there at 6'5", you know, 250, 55 pounds, and he could cover a wideout on a fade. Like, you couldn't even see the wideout on the boundary with him running next to him. So, Javon was – and not only did I have Javon, Mike Peterson was my other outside backer.
Yep.
And who played for 10, 12 years in the NFL. So, Mike Peterson was my other guy that was, equally a fantastic player.
Now, this just popped into my head. It's such a random question, but you've got all these guys that you coach that play in the NFL now. Do you play fantasy football? Like, like, do you just draft like all your guys? Is it like, I would look at your team and it's like Baker, Mixon, Westbrook, and then like all some of the older guys, like, is that something you do?
I haven't. I guess I was involved in real football too long to get involved with fantasy. But you know what? I may have to do that, where I just take my guys all the time, you know, and see how that works out. I'm going to
work out pretty good. There's a lot of people around here that do that. It'll work out pretty good.
Yeah. I haven't. You guys are going to have to school me up on how that goes. And I'm going to start paying attention.
We'll start a league, Gabe, and we'll invite Coach in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Seems fair. I'm in.
All right. Except, like I said, I got all OU guys.
All right, I feel good about that. I'll give you all the guys that you coached, and I think I can put together a pretty good team from the rest of the guys all there right. In the NFL.
You guys are going to school me up on it. We'll come on every Monday or Tuesday and see who did what.
We'll have a little recap. I love it, Coach. Well, hey, we really appreciate the time, and it's really cool. Seeing you, I mean, you got the beard, seeing you just having fun with the rock and roll tequila stuff. I mean, it's awesome. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's a lot of fun to see you kind of in this stage.
Well, I appreciate it. It's like I said all along, I had a ton of fun while I did it, and wouldn't have changed any of it. Worked with great guys like you, a bunch of great coaches. And, you know, life brings you different things at different times, and we'll see what else is coming my way.
Rock and roll bombs this weekend for Labor Day. That's my goal.
Hell yeah.
And I gave you the recipe.
That's right. Appreciate it, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
See you guys.
That interview with Bob Stoops was also brought to you by Bishop McGinnis Catholic High School. As schools are reopening in the fall, parents want to provide the best possible educational experience and spiritual development for their children. There's no better place for that than Bishop McGinnis Catholic High School. A one-to-one iPad setting makes McGinnis students fully prepared to continue high-level learning from home. A 12-to-1 student-to-teacher ratio guarantees no student is overlooked. In addition to athletic programs and clubs, Bishop McGinnis's college prep curriculum offers 22 AP courses. Financial aid is available. For more information, visit bmchs.org. Thanks to Bob Stoops for joining us. Ted, I think it's still a little weird, but it is cool seeing him, you know, so relaxed and, you know, it's for all of us that got to see him kind of behind the scenes, we always knew he was kind of a goofy, fun guy, great personality, but it's fun kind of just watching him let that guard down. I'm enjoying it, man. I'm enjoying Bearded Bob.
There's no doubt it's going to be fun. I think what we should do over the holiday weekend is you and I both need to video a mango bomb and we'll send it to Coach. We're supporting you, Coach.
Fully supporting that. And I bet you we could put it in some Will and Wiley, just saying, a little combination there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I like that.
You know, still got to take care of the sponsor, you know what I'm saying? But it's great. Now, since, you know, we are enjoying Labor Day weekend to its fullest extent, we're not going to do any of our normal segments here. So that's it, Ted. Episode 40 in the books. We'll have a new podcast that'll drop Thursday morning. Just a reminder, you can hear Teddy from 2 to 6 on Sports Talk 1400. You can hear me on SiriusXM Big 12 Radio, Channel 375. Hope you all have a great week. Until next time, we appreciate y'all for listening. And do what you always do, Oklahoma. Take care of each other. Just one more.